afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Indie Business Radio for Monday, December 3rd, 2007. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's show is sponsored by Essential Wholesale, now with a different way to save on your bulk cosmetics, ingredients, and products every day of the holiday season. Visit their website each day this month to find out what the discount of the day is. Today, it's 25% off all toners and body mists. Find out more at EssentialWholesale.com. We all want to have a life full of purpose and meaning. It's a universal desire to feel as though the life we're living is not only upstanding and positive, but also that it actually counts for something that will last long after we leave this earth. But how do you do that? Dr. Brad Swift says he knows. 20 years ago, he appeared successful from the outside with a thriving veterinary practice and a model family. But inside, he says he was burned out, racked with emotional pain, and ready to end it all because he says his life was at odds with its true purpose. He turned everything around, not tossing out his career entirely, but using it as a stepping stone to pursue his true purpose in life as a writer, speaker, and success coach. That led to, among other things, the publication earlier this year of his book, Life on Purpose, Six Passages to an Inspired Life. Dr. Swift joins us today to share his story and also to help us sort through the discovery process regarding our own life purpose. We'll take your comments and questions. Do join us, 800-773-0355. Dr. Swift, welcome to Indie Business Radio.
Hi, Donna Maria. Thank you for having me on your show today.
Well, it's really great to have you. So tell us a little bit about this. Is a really interesting sort of a background to how you pursued this life purpose that brings us to the discussion of your book today. Can you take us back a little bit to how you moved from a veterinary practice to something so totally different from that?
Well, sure. Well, you know, it goes back to, you know, really the early days of my childhood when I decided at the age of about 7 years of age that I wanted to be a veterinarian, and I stayed tried and true to that goal up until my early 20s when I graduated from the University of Georgia. But then I found at about the 12-year juncture in my practice that I had grown to the point where I could almost not stand going into the office another day. As you said in the introduction, I had burned out, and unfortunately that burnout had also kind of transferred over into my personal life as well, to the point where I felt really disjointed and disconnected from the people I most cared about.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of downward spiral continued. I'm afraid I began to abuse alcohol, and that eventually led to abusing drugs. In an effort to try to numb myself enough to get through, you know, another day. And eventually actually led to the point where I seriously contemplated taking my own life. Fortunately, at that point, miraculously for me, a dear friend of mine found me in that state of emotional disarray and offered to help me get help. And that led to the eventual turnaround and to... in the process of that turnaround, discovering the power of working with life and business coaches themselves.
Well, you know, that sounds like... Now, how long did that particular process take?
Well, you know, I like to be able to say that it was a, you know, once I realized, you know, what bad shape I was in, it was a quick turnaround, but my mother taught me never to lie. So it was actually about a 2 or 3 year period before I really got to the point where I could say that my life was working again. But at that point, I actually realized at some point that my life was working. In fact, it was working at a level that I couldn't even have imagined back there during that dark period of my life. And so when I went back to begin to evaluate what had allowed for such a significant turnaround in my life, what was for me a really a personal transformation, there were several things that I identified. One was... again, coaching, the power of working with life and business coaches, and through that work, beginning to get real clarity of purpose in my life, and then, you know, reacquainting myself with the spiritual aspect of my life. so I eventually married those three things together and became one of the first life purpose coaches in the world.
Wow. And so you really have an interesting twist to that, in that not only did you use your experience to help your personal life become better, but you found a way to really touch people all around the world.
Yeah, I really feel that part of my own calling, one of my own ways of that I am called to express my own life purpose, is to work with other people who are kind of in that situation, either that they're in burnout or they're in the midst of starting to burn out. Often, you know, many of my individual one-on-one clients are highly successful people, particularly people who have been highly successful in their businesses or their professional lives, but who in the process of that have lost that sense of balance and perhaps lost that sense of purpose. And you know, one of the great things that I love to do is to be able to assist them in returning to that sense of purpose, simplifying their life, and getting their life back into balance.
And so, Dr. Swift, when you describe the process, the sort of overview you went through having a successful practice and then the movement toward what you described as being close to even taking your own life, were there some things along the way, some milestones or some warning signs, so to speak, that other people might look for so maybe they can stop themselves before they get to that point?
Well, I would say, you know, one of the warning signs is, you know, when you start to get into a sense of overwhelm. You know, I think I recognize that there's a tremendous amount of people today really very, very busy. You know, we're filled with busyness today, and yet many times people, along with that busyness, there's not that sense of joy and satisfaction and fulfillment. So one of the things I'd look at is, you know, if you're really super busy, but you're, I guess you could say it this way, you're doing more and more but enjoying it less, I would get suspicious that you may be in the early stages of professional or personal burnout.
Okay, so a sense of overwhelm is one of the things to look for. Well, I tell you, it's often, you know, times the difficulties in our lives or other people's lives that actually turn out to be the biggest blessings. And your book here is just a really great resource to help people who might feel that sort of sense of overwhelm to kind of step back and take a look at their lives and what's going on in their lives. Tell us a little bit about how this book came to be.
Well, the book is actually outlines in quite a bit of detail a process that over the past 12 years I've been fortunate to have literally thousands of people go through, what we call the Life on Purpose process, which is today a proven, systematic, spiritually based, and practical process for assisting people to bring clarity of purpose to their life and then to design their life to be a reflection of that purpose. And that process came to me as at that point where I had become clear about my own purpose, but by that time I was in my, you know, early 40s. And when I looked around, you know, at the people around me, and at, you know, our Western culture as a whole, it seemed to me that there were a lot of other people, you know, in their 30s and their 40s, and many of them in their 50s and 60s and older, who were still pretty clueless about what their true purpose was. So at that point, I asked a couple of questions, you know, of my own inner connection to God or to, you know, your inner resources, however you might describe that. And as a coach, I know the power of questions, and the questions I asked that really made a profound difference in my life were, you know, is it really necessary for us to spend, you know, 30 or 40 or 50 or more years getting clear about our life purpose? And the second question was, isn't there some way to shorten that learning curve a bit? And out of those questions, and I asked those questions not out of a sense of anger or angst or anything, but really, you know, wanting some insights and some answers, you know, well, from that process became what is now known as the Life on Purpose process itself. And after, you know, proving that it's really highly effective for people over the over about a decade of coaching and leading people through the process, we felt it was time to put it together in a book so we could reach more and more people that way.
Dr. Swift, one of the things you mentioned was sort of a spiritual aspect. Can anybody utilize your six steps or six passages to an inspired life, regardless of what their religion may be?
Well, I certainly, you know, would say that that is true. You know, we've had people of many different religious paths, many different denominations, even, you know, people that are not even sure that they believe in a God or a religious path, you know, who have still gone through this process and gotten quite a bit of value out of itself. So, you know, while we do say that it is spiritually based, it's not of any particular religion itself. We've had people of, you know, Buddhists, Baha'i, Christians, of course, you know, many different religious paths who have gone through this process and have still gotten, you know, real clarity of purpose to their life.
And so tell me, Dr. Swift, why is it important to know your life purpose? I mean, you know, we're all, you know, maybe you have a job, you have a family, you know, you're kind of doing good things. And if you have kids, you know, you're going to got some kind of purpose, obviously, there. If they survive you, then your legacy, so to speak, lives on. How do we know that there should be more than that to us? Is it a feeling that we have, or what is it?
Well, you know, I was thinking about that the other day, and there was a book that was quite popular some years ago by Ayn Rand, Atlas Shrugged. And in that, one of her main characters, you know, asked this question of, you know, what is the most depraved kind of human being? And, you know, we would think the answer might be something that, you know, a mass murderer or something like that. But the answer came back was, you know, the person without a purpose. And so I think it's really, important for us to at least know and to consider that each of us are here and that we each have what I like to term a divinely inspired life purpose. And by simply engaging in the question of, well, I wonder what mine is, you know, we begin to get to know ourselves in a deeper way. And, you know, one of my, you know, favorite, you know, sayings of years past was, you know, the unexamined life is not worth living. Mm-hmm. So I think it's you know, it's really part of our own reason for being here in this physical life to engage in the question of who am I and what am I here for? And that gets us right there into the ballpark of examining this question of what is that life purpose that I'm here to be and to express.
And before we get to your six passages that you outline in your book, Dr. Swift, what are some of the mistakes that people make, the common mistakes people make when they answer that question? I mean, if it's a universal question, as you say, then at some level, everybody's, you know, at some point trying to find that answer.
Yes, yes.
If that's the case, then why does it seem like so many people are lost?
Well, I think there's a couple major obstacles that can get in the way. One is there's still a lot of people that aren't taking the time to even, you know, ask the question. Mm. So, you know, it starts by needing to ask the question. Luckily, I feel like, you know, more and more people are, you know, awakening up and beginning to ask the question itself. But the second thing that can really block us is what I view is an actual process of misidentifying what a life purpose is. You know,
that sounds really scary, because what if you make a mistake and then you're 75 and you suddenly wake up and go, I've totally missed my life purpose?
Exactly. Well, it's actually what I did in my first career, because I had misidentified my career path, my profession, as my life purpose.
Well, let me ask you one question about that. I love that you made that point, because, you know, let me play devil's advocate for a second. Could it be that your veterinary career was, in fact, your life purpose for a specific period of time?
Well, I think, again, it was an important part of my, you know, development as a human being. But I don't think it was actually my life purpose, because I think we as a culture, a Western culture, has misidentified the whole notion of what a life purpose is. Most of us think of it as what we're here to do. And when we look from this kind of cultural perspective that life purpose is all about doing, well, again, it leads us to a life filled with busy, 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 a lot of doing, but not necessarily the deep sense of joy, satisfaction, and fulfillment that comes with really living your life on purpose. So in the Life on Purpose process, we examine a different way of viewing what a life purpose is. And we can certainly talk more about that when we get into the six passages.
Right. So is it what I'm here to do versus who I'm here to be?
Exactly. It's more of the beingness. It's more about who you are as a spiritual being.
Okay.
And what you came here to be and to experience. And then from there, allowing that to shape all of your life, including all the things that you do in life.
Now, that's a fundamental shift to the question, why am I here? What am I here to do? That really changes the whole dynamic of the inquiry, going from doing to being.
It's getting to the real heart of the matter. It's first, you know, answer the question, who am I and what am I here as a spiritual being to be and to experience? And then knowing that that beingness will begin to shape and influence what you do and also what you have as far as the results you have in your life.
And it seems to me that it also makes it a little bit more challenging to figure it out, but we're going to come back after our break and talk about that. We're here this afternoon with Dr. Brad Swift, author of Life on Purpose, Six Passages to an Inspired Life. We're going to take our first break. This is Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're here this afternoon with Dr. Brad Swift, author of Life on Purpose, Six Passages to an Inspired Life. And before we took our first break, we were talking about the difference between examining your life from the perspective of what it is you're doing and examining your life from the perspective of who it is you are or what it is you are being. So, Dr. Swift, before we broke, we were sort of tossing around the idea of whether the latter, that is, who am I being as opposed to what am I doing, makes the inquiry that more challenging.
Well, it certainly can. You know, when we're talking about this, if you think about anything that's going to have a major life alteration, you know, a major change in one's life, but it's simply something particularly as profound as this, it's not necessarily easy. You know, for most people, the process of realizing their true divinely inspired purpose, their reason for being, can be an uncomfortable process and can be, you know, emotional and scary and frustrating and, you know, can even have people want to run for the exit sign. However, I think by having a roadmap, having a process that has been proven to be valuable, you know, by thousands of other people going through it, I think that can assist along this, as it were, this purposeful path to really getting clear about one's true purpose, which is the reason that, you know, the Life on Purpose process came to me and that I can make it available to as many people as possible, so that we can take some of that scariness and some of that challengingness out and have people go through a process that can be, you know, can they can be guided along a process to really answering these most important questions about who we are and why we're here.
And, you know, it's a good point to mention a process, because tell me how many people you come across who have a mindset of immediate results in society today. I mean, even if you just look at the title of some books, the 4-hour work week or the 1-minute manager, and these types of books sort of make it seem like everything is supposed to happen fast.
Yes. Yes. And while, you know, while we are interested in not having the process of clarifying your life purpose taking longer than it needs to, mm-hmm. I mean, there is another process that can also work to get clear about your life purpose, and it's the one that most people who have finally gotten clear about their purpose have used. That's called the trial and error method.
Okay.
But as we talked about in the first segment, the trial and error method can take you several decades or longer to get clear about your purpose that way. But even so, again, we're talking about some deep questions that really it's useful to not try to answer immediately, you know, instantaneously, and to be able to work through a process that can literally take decades off of the process and really bring it down to a few, you know, weeks or months to really bring that clarity of purpose. And then the real joy begins to design your life to be a reflection of that life purpose that you've clarified.
Well, let's roll our sleeves up here. Now, your book has 6 passages to an inspired life, and obviously we can't cover them all in detail on today's show, so I want to encourage my listeners to go to lifeonpurpose.com to get more detail and, of course, to purchase your own copy of this book, which has lots of resources and to-do things and lots of processes to help sort of organize your thoughts. But let's just go through, if we could, Dr. Swift, the 6 steps one by one and see if we can give people an overview of this process.
Sure. Well, we start by making, you know, the metaphor that I just alluded to, that there is this path, this purposeful path from wherever you're starting from, in other words, however clear or unclear you are about your life purpose, to where you're really wanting to end up, which is where you know your life purpose with real crystal clarity, and your life is actually a reflection of that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So in passage number 1, we help people to get clear about those two starting, you know, the starting point and the ending point. So that's part of the preparing for the journey to travel this purposeful path that we cover in quite a bit of depth in passage number 1, which includes, for instance, a 20-point self-test that you can evaluate how on or off purpose you are to begin with.
Yeah, and those are always really insightful if you take the time to do it. It looks like a really great one. And then at the end of passage number 1, you make a note about personal coaching, and I want to delve into that a little bit with you here, because we've all heard of personal coaching, but a lot of people are really confused about that and what exactly it is and why do I need it if I've got a book and, you know, my husband is keeping me accountable or my girlfriend's helping me out. Why do I need a personal coach? Talk a little bit about what personal coaching is and how it can help someone through this process.
Well, you can kind of think of it this way. You know, everybody who's that we have as our coaches have been, you know, thoroughly trained by myself and my wife, who's the co-founder of Life on Purpose Institute, to be able to travel their own purposeful path and to then, you know, guide other people along the journey as well. So to have somebody who's been there and done that and have gotten engaged in this in quite a bit of depth can be very helpful as you kind of hit the rough spots, because there are parts along this path that we're describing where it can be really challenging, and it'll be easy for, you know, suddenly you get overly busy or you start to have a mindset of, oh, I've already engaged in that, I don't want to do that, so I'll just skip over that part. So, you know, a coach can help kind of guide you, hold you accountable, and also be a cheerleader for you as well as you hit those hard spots and help you to complete, you know, going through the process, and then work with you to become masterful in designing your life to be a reflection of your purpose.
Right. I guess once you figure out what your purpose is, you don't want to be an amateur at it.
No, and yet that's where really where the fun begins, as we'll talk about when we get into the last few, you know, couple of passages itself.
Okay, so passage number one is to be prepared. I guess you can't know where you're going unless you first know where you are.
That's right.
What about passage number two?
Well, in passage number two, we really delve into, again, in quite a bit more depth, this kind of mind shift, this rethinking about the whole notion of what a life purpose is. Where we move from the cultural perspective that says it's all about the doingness of life, and so, you know, we don't have to misidentify our life purpose as our job or our careers or some primary role in life, and begin to rethinking about it that it's more about the who we are and the context into which we can pour our life, which then has the power to shape and form each and every moment of our life itself. So we go into that in a good bit more depth.
Okay, and then you move to uncovering what has been shaping your life. So you go from, I'm just trying to sort of wrap my hands around this process. You first start by discovering where you are, then you start sort of delving into where it is that you want to go, and then you move back and see what's been shaping you in the past. Do you have to undo some stuff then?
Well, again, we're taking a view here that your life purpose is this overarching, you know, context that has the power to shape your life. Mm-hmm. So in passage number three, we help people to identify that, indeed, there's not only our true life purpose that has the power to shape our life, but that there's this other very powerful force that can also shape our life, particularly when we don't know what our true life purpose is. And so in this third passage, we identify this other life-shaping force as the inherited purpose. And the inherited purpose is based in fear, lack, like a lack mentality, and a need to struggle to survive. And uncovering this is really, really important in your commitment to live on purpose, because otherwise the inherited purpose will kind of serve to sabotage your efforts to live true to your true purpose once you do identify what it is. It's also the passage that most people find to be the most challenging, but also the one that we've had more and more people come back to, you know, say 6 months or a year after they've gone through this process and say, I am so thankful that I stuck with it and went through to uncover my inherited purpose, because it has been so instrumental in allowing me to live true to my divinely inspired purpose.
Now, what's the difference between the two?
Well, to start with, the very foundation of your true life purpose, and the reason we sometimes refer to it as your divinely inspired life purpose, is the foundation of that is universal love, that attractive force of universal love. Or for many people, that equates to their relationship to God or a higher power or their spiritual nature. But the foundation of your inherited purpose isn't that. The foundation of the inherited purpose is fear, lack, and struggle. So there's some significant differences between the two. You can know your inherited purpose is shaping your life when you get caught up in the, I should be doing this, or I have to be doing this, or I can't be doing that. Those are indications that it's the inherited purpose shaping your life.
Okay, that's deep.
It is deep, and like I said, it's if you think about kind of the old story of, you know, the Wizard of Oz, you know, where they were traveling through the dark forest, you know, the lions and tigers and bears, oh my. Well, the third passage of the Life of Purpose process is a little bit like traveling through that dark forest, but remember, at the other end of the dark forest is where the Land of Oz is. So it's really where the real joy and fun begins in passage number four, where we begin to really bring crystal clarity to what your true divinely inspired purpose is.
And just closing out passage number three, that inherited purpose, if you define one of those as fear, then is that sort of like saying that the purpose that we naturally inherit is counter to the one that ultimately is our ultimate life purpose?
Yeah, that's one way of saying it. Think of it this way. You know, the inherited purpose gets formed in our early childhood formative years.
Okay.
When things happened or people said things and we felt threatened or unsafe.
Okay.
And at an unconscious level, we began to ascribe some meaning to those times. And over a period of time, they formed a pattern which became our relationship to ourself and to life, which wasn't true, but we lived as though it was true for so long that we began to think that's who we really were. So it's kind of the lie that we've been telling ourselves so long that it's time to fess up and say, hey, that's not who I am. There's something much greater.
And, you know, Dr. Swift, many of my listeners are independent business owners. They're small business owners. Of course, Indie Business Radio is geared towards inspiring and encouraging them to be all they can be and, you know, maximize their potential in business. But one of the things that occurs to me you're talking about is some of the messages that we may have interpreted as very young people about, you know, go to college and get a job and work for however many years it is and then retire and then it's all over.
Yes, yes. For many people, a large piece of their inherited purpose is the lessons that they were taught by their parents, well-meaning as they were, that simply were not a fit for them. So it's those expectations of what we think, you know, our parents and other, you know, people that in our life that try to teach us, you know, what we should do in life, rather than, and again, they were well-meaning, but unfortunately, they kind of, you know, oftentimes put us in a box itself.
And to some extent, then, some of this is dependent on the time in which you live. For example, 50 years ago, what we just described was certainly, you know, looked at in a whole different context than it is today when, you know, layoffs are what they are and underfunded pensions are what they are and work is so different. So these principles and the conclusion that one person may draw could be dependent on the time in their life in which they're addressing them. Is that so?
Exactly. You know, a lot of factors play into, you know, the inherited purpose. You know, what time of, you were born, where you were born, you know, whether your family was religious or not religious, the media, you know, many, many things kind of, you know, can help the inherited purpose get formed. But the key part of it is to remember that it's the fear, lack, and struggle, that the meaning that we ascribe based in fear, lack, and struggle that began to form the inherited purpose. And in fact, you know, it was my own inherited purpose that shaped so much of my life in those, you know, first several decades that eventually led me to, even though I was an outward appearance as a successful veterinarian, on the inside, I was, you know, ready to take my own life because I felt like I was such a failure. That was my inherited purpose shaping my life in those moments.
Well, we are going to take our next break and come back with more insightful conversation from Dr. Brad Swift, author of Life on Purpose, Six Passages to an Inspired Life. This is Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're here talking about how to clarify your life purpose. A question, Dr. Swift, we were talking about inherited purpose and how it shapes our life. I want to know what your take is on whether one person can have more than one life purpose in a lifetime and still be on mission in terms of their life purpose?
Yeah, that's a great question, Donna Maria. Here's my take on it. I believe that we all have one divinely inspired life purpose, and yet we may have, over the course of our lifetime, many different ways in which we would choose to express that purpose. In other words, we may have different missions, although we have that mission is, each of those missions is an expression of our true life purpose. So let me give you an example, kind of take it out of theoretical. I say that my own life purpose is to live an inspired and inspiring life of purposeful, passionate, and playful service, a life of mindful abundance that I balance with simplicity, and a life of spiritual serenity.
That sounds complicated.
Well, the first time you hear it, it can be pretty, you know, a lot to hold. So let's just shorten it to my Reader's Digest version. For me, a life on purpose is a life of service, simplicity, and spiritual serenity.
Okay.
So think of it like like the analogy of a coffee mug filled with water. The mug gives shape and form to the water, just like a person's life purpose gives shape and form to their life. Now, I may choose to express that life purpose in many different ways. So I express that life purpose as the founder of Life on Purpose Institute. And Life on Purpose Institute has a mission, which is a way in which I express that life purpose. You know, I also express that life purpose as a Life on Purpose coach, as a father, as a husband, and even as a, you know, a volleyball player at the local YMCA.
Mm-hmm.
So we have many different ways in which we can express that purpose, and yet there's one purpose. Now, having said that, here's the paradoxical part of it. I do also believe that as we continue to live true to our life purpose and we delve into it and explore it and examine it and question it, then over time that life purpose can also grow and evolve. So there's parts of the life purpose statement that I shared with you just a few moments ago that, you know, that I've kind of added to as I've learned additional parts of my divinely inspired reason for being here.
Mm-hmm.
So I do feel that it does grow and evolve and, in a sense, kind of takes on a life of its own as you delve into it, you know, over the years.
Now, how does some of this translate into business ownership?
Well, you know, it transfers very well, you know, in that as you get clear about your life purpose, then if you either are interested in starting a business or you have a business, you can design that business to be a reflection of and a great way to express your life purpose. So a good bit of the work that I do with my clients are in that area of helping them to design their business on purpose. In other words, their business becomes a way in which they express their life purpose. And the people that they work with can find that they can also express their own personal purpose in that business as well. So that's what I mean by a business on purpose. It's one that the business is a reflection and expression of one's true purpose in life.
So this whole life purpose clarification process can help an indie business owner to further define their product, their service, their market, and everything else so they can be more laser-focused in being successful and profitable in their business venture.
Yeah, exactly. Laser-focused. And also, when you get clear about your purpose, one of the things that allows for is you get to tap into this wellspring of passion. And then that passion begins to be what can fuel you in your business. In other words, you know, you tap into this enthusiasm and passion and excitement. So in the morning, you wake up, you're inspired out of bed in the morning because you know your day is about expressing your true purpose, not just about paying the bills.
And that's a really good point. And I'm sure you must be finding in your practice that there's an increasingly larger number of people who are interested in expressing their passion and their purpose through a business outlet. Is that right?
Yes, I do. I think there are more and more, you know, I think it's actually part of the kind of our next leg of our own evolution as humanity. More and more purpose-inspired businesses being formed, not just businesses that are being formed because there's a need in the marketplace, but where people say, you know, I have this purpose, I have this clarity of purpose, and I want to express it and share it and be a contribution out in the world. And one of the ways they're choosing to do that is by forming businesses that really are in alignment with their life purpose itself.
Now, speaking of business, Doctor, I'm going to throw you a little bit of a curveball here, because
okay.
You mentioned a little bit ago that you're in business actually with your wife.
That's right.
And I find that fascinating. We've done a couple of shows on husbands and wives in business together. I want to ask you if you could share some of what you've learned about being successful in business with your spouse or with your significant other. Is it a challenge? Is it more challenging, less challenging than being in business by yourself, or is it just different?
Well, it certainly is. It is different, and I am so thankful that I've had my wife along this journey over the past 12 years that we've run our business. She's been such an instrumental part of it, and I think one of the key is, you know, we both know our life purposes. I know hers, she knows mine, and we have committed to acknowledging that and supporting each other in living our lives consistent with that purpose. And we also know each other's inherited purposes. So we know when we kind of, you know, get bumped off purpose, and we also give, you know, the other person room to be off purpose from time to time and continue to relate to that person as their true purpose. So, you know, we felt that it was important, given the nature of our business, to, you know, work with these distinctions that are in the service that we provide to other people to empower ourselves and be a kind of an example and a demonstration of what's possible when you really do commit to living on purpose and to work with these tools that are available in this process itself.
So do you recommend, if somebody's thinking about going into business with their spouse or their significant other, that this is one of the things that they explore before doing that? For example, I always recommend before you get married, you know, do a credit check.
Right.
So is this part of that, kind of trying to see to the extent to which the other person has, you know, actually some clarity about what it is they're supposed to be doing or being, should I say?
Well, yeah, if you think about it, you know, some of the other components that make up a person's true purpose is, you know, the person's unique set of core values.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's important, you know, if you're going to be in a marriage, to know whether or not you share common values. Not that they all have to be identical, but that there's enough shared common values that, you know, you're going to be compatible. So this has taken that idea, you know, to an even, you know, a deeper level, to the point where you not only know each other's core values, but you know the very essence of who each other are. And so you can say, yes, I can support that. And I want to, you know, encourage you to be that in your life. And I want you to encourage me to be that in my life as well. And that's what I call really, truly a purposeful partnership. When you know each other at that level, at the very level of your soul, you talked about, you know, during one of our breaks, while we were on break, about soulmates. Well, for me, I'm clear, my wife is a soulmate of mine because, you know, I know who she is at that level, her soul, her very spirit itself. And I love it, and I love her for it, and I acknowledge her for it, and I try to support her in being that, you know, not just in our business, but in all of our lives.
And so, Dr. Swift, is it possible to, in your experience, just based on people you've worked with and what you've seen, to be compatible in life or / marriage, if we could call it that, and not compatible in business?
That's a good question. I don't. Yeah, I would think. I think it's really a personal choice for each person to decide whether or not, you know, whether you want to have that level of intimacy. You know, throughout the day, you know, we work from our homes, you know, we are, you know, each other's best friends, you know, we have a 15-year-old daughter that we, you know, that we raise together and that we homeschool together, and, you know, that's our personal choice. We wanted to have that type of in-depth intimacy and partnership, and that doesn't mean that, you know, everybody is looking for that level of depth, and I think it is important to get clear about that, because, you know, you know, you spend 6 to 8 or 10 hours a day in business, And then you spend the rest of the time in your marriage, you want to be looking and see, do I want that level of partnership in that much of my life? So it's, I think it's really a personal choice.
Yeah, and I guess if you don't sort it out at the beginning, it will sort itself out.
It will sort itself out. And I'll be honest, you know, the first few years of our being in business together, it was a sorting out process. You know, I had, I kind of came across as being the, you know, I'm the boss and you're my coworker, you know, but it was really more like an employee. And that didn't go over very well with my wife. So I'm really clear now that we are co-partners in this. And, I'm the kind of the pretty faces out in front, and she's the person who does a lot of the work in the background. The business wouldn't happen at the level that it happens if it wasn't for the two of us.
Right, you're both bringing something different, but you're both bringing something.
Yeah, and we're bringing something, and it's unique. And she brings and expresses her life purpose in this way, and she has a side business that she is also interested in, and I support her in that as well.
Oh, great, great. It sounds, more and more people are trying to find ways in their own households to come together and generate income and find their purposes, and that's one of the things that Indie Business Radio is all about. So tell us, Dr. Swift, how can we go on the Internet or get in touch with you to find out how we can learn more about your institute, get your book, and maybe even see you speak in person?
Well, one of the simplest ways to do it is to go to lifeonpurpose.com. It's our website, www.lifeonpurpose.com. Mm-hmm. There's many free resources there. You can connect with us, through the website itself. We have free what we call telesamplers, classes that we conduct by phone for people who want to find out more about the Life on Purpose process. Of course, you can purchase our book through lifeonpurpose.com or at your local Walden's or Borders or your local bookstores as well. And of course, it's available also on Amazon.com. Many ways that you can purchase the book. And I would encourage you not just to purchase the book, but also to read it. I have been told that it's kind of like three books in one. It's a book of inspiration. It's also a book that if you're interested in coaching, there's many valuable tools that you can apply, as a coach. And also, obviously, ultimately, it's a proven guide to help bring clarity or purpose to your life. So if you will engage in the exercises that are in the book, that's where the real value is itself.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Brad Swift, author of Life on Purpose, Six Passages to an Inspired Life. I encourage you to visit his website at lifeonpurpose.com to get more information, purchase the book, and find out more about how you can uncover your true life purpose. Next week, we have got another great guest coming up here on Indie Business Radio. And every Monday throughout, we're going to be launching in 2008 some exciting new facets to our radio show. I've been at this now for over 2 years. I can hardly believe that much time has gone by with a show every week, and I'm still enjoying it. Maybe that means, Dr. Swift, I've discovered my life purpose.
Well, you certainly have discovered a great way to express that purpose. That's for sure.
Well, thank you, and I hope that you guys will join me next week for another episode of Indie Business Radio. In the meantime, continue discussion and join me at the Indie Business Blog at indiebusinessblog.com. And I've got some great reviews of some holiday products there that you just might be interested in looking at, to take a look at, to perhaps get some gifts together for some of your loved ones over the holiday season. My husband and I are working together to create a variety of different videos for you to enjoy and be inspired and encouraged in the pursuit of your indie business. I hope you'll join me next week on Indie Business Radio. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Have a great week.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.